Ladies and gentlemen, the following radio event, truly one of the most unusual of its kind, contains material that may be too shocking and intense for some audience members. If you have a heart condition or are easily upset, we urgently recommend you exercise listener discretion and immediately turn your radio dial.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP.
No, not at all.
You don't straighten up, boy, I'm gonna kick a mud hole in your backside and stomp a drop.
The whole world's gone crazy.
This whole thing makes me sick. You make me sick.
Radio people ought to do something about this. You know, it's just not right.
That's so sure it's a radio thing.
And now, let's listen to the excitement of radio exploitation.
Like that?
Pretty cool, huh?
Chick by the hand. I said, if I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. That's all right, daddy, you a real good cat. I take it easy, baby, and hold my hand. If I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. All jumping to the rock and roll band. If I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. Said, all right, daddy, you the real good cat. Swinging and jumping and playing my hand. If I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. Said, all right, daddy, you the real good cat. Back, then I reach for a hand. If I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. Said, all right, daddy, you the real cool cat. Swinging and jumping and playing my hand. If I can't rock and roll, I do the best I can. Oh, baby, take two step back. Said, all right, daddy, you the real cool cat.
Nanny Maka happy. Nanny Maka like that.
And I'm gonna
have this room fumigated when you're out of it.
Suppose you go tell Sugarpuss, Daddy's here.
Oh, yes. Welcome aboard. A very special Fool's Paradise edition. In fact, we're already knee-deep into it. Yeah, it's the Fortune Showcase. And let's just introduce the guests, and let's get to this huge heaping stack of rare Fortune 45s. We've got Billy Miller from Norton Records.
Hello, Rex.
Howdy. A leading Fortunologist. And we also have Lenny Kay in the studio.
Hey. Lenny Kay.
Hey, Lenny
Rex.
Kay.
How's it going, Rex?
It's good. Lenny, as you may know, Git Man with Patty Smith, and the man behind those great those seminal Nuggets collections.
Ah, yes, it's a nugget if you dug it.
Yes, and did you have any idea what you set off?
I didn't have any idea. If I did, I would have screwed it up. Let's be honest. Okay.
600 Garage Band compilations later, but we're here to talk about Fortune Records. You may be familiar with that documentary In the Shadow of Motown about the Motown session musicians. Well, Fortune was the record label that was very much in the shadow of Motown. Hugely influential, a lot of great material, yet sadly not that many people know about it. And we're here to pay tribute.
No, many, many great records.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they probably put out maybe close to 400 records.
Wow, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, now, Billy, as long as I've known you, you've really been into the Fortune stuff. I mean, what set that off for you? Was there a particular record you got
and
thought, I got to investigate this label?
Well, I don't know. Maybe like in the 70s and stuff. Remember, Lenny will remember. He's many years my senior.
And
but remember, like, Nolan Strong was the number one thing. Everybody was really, really hot on Nolan Strong. I really like those records a lot. I didn't get too deep into it till later on, but listening to Andre and stuff, I guess my palate wasn't fine enough to go for all those smooth numbers. I'm going like, yeah, but this guy's singing about underage girls and chickens,
right?
You know, so.
But I mean, I guess, you know, you hear a Fortune record, you come across another Fortune 45, and after a while, you realize something's up there.
I know. They're all great. The one that made me a completist, and I could trace it back to it, is Darlin' Be Mine by the Earthquakes. I just heard that, and it was like, rainbows were going off.
Well, I suppose we'll be getting to that record
maybe
here, hopefully. Lenny, when did you first get hooked on the Fortune Records sound?
Well, I had a couple Fortune records in my collection. I'm sure I had Jailbait and The Wind, of course. I always thought that was a much better version than the Jester's version. But I visited Detroit in the early 70s and went to the offices of Cream Magazine, which were on the Cass Corridor, which is downtown Detroit. And about four or five blocks away was the Fortune store. So I went there, very excited to see what this place was about, and walked into this little very small, it was a two-story building. They were in the first floor and in back of the actual record store. I was working in a record store at the time, Village Oldies on Bleecker Street, so I was familiar with those stacks of shelvings. But they took me back there, and I actually saw the Fortune Studio, which was just a totally amazing thing. Very low-end,
modest.
Hang microphones over coat racks. And
I believe you might say microphone.
Microphone. Yeah.
I just saw the one there,
yeah.
A little studio, little board off to the side. And what I remember most is that underneath the microphone in the middle of the room, the carpet was worn thin, where all the groups had kind of shuffled their feet.
Wow.
And I bought a few records there. We'll be playing some of them today.
Cool.
And actually got to see whence it was made.
Wow. Yeah. No, the photos I've seen, and I've only seen photos of the old Fortune store and studio, it seemed like kind of a dumpy packaged goods store.
Oh, yeah. You could just walk off the street, buy a few copies of the Cherokee Chief, and go get your milk and cookies down the street.
I've got the numbers off the front door.
Oh,
before
wow.
They took the building down.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went up. I was like, man, I wish I had a screwdriver, and they popped out like they were in butter. I was like, well, nobody's sending them any mail anytime soon.
Well, see, that's what makes you the fortunologist. You get the old address. So we got Lenny Kaye and Billy Miller from Norton Records in here. We're paying tribute to Fortune Records. We're going to have a salute to Nolan Strong a little bit later. And I think the best of all, we should just jump back into all these great records you guys brought.
Well, we heard a couple already.
Yeah, let's back and out.
Couple of the instrumentals. We heard Catalina's Destruction and the Phaeton's Fling. And the great Little Ernest Tucker, 1958, Gonna Give Me a Satellite. And
man, you get too small to dance on the flip of that. That's too much.
You can't find the better side of that record. You could just keep flipping it over all day.
It's the third side that I like the best.
Yeah, yeah. In Earl Chapman, Take Two Steps Back.
Yeah, the great blues slop fest, and I think the record, The Fling, might be the most primitive instrumental ever aired on this
even
program.
Even for them.
What do we got next here?
Well, we got some on the Fortune's subsidiary Hi-Q label. Let's get in with the Del Victor's Acting Up. Send it out to Mr. Finewine.
All right. Fortune Records tribute here in the Fun 91 WFMU.
Ready to flip.
Do you want to do the grunt challenge?
Yeah!
Do you want to do the grunt challenge?
Yeah!
Let's get with it. Ah!
much.
Never shake it once you dig it.
Oh, listen.
this thing called love. My mind is sad, oh, to the pitter-patter of the rain.
Public can't hear the melody, you're dead. D-E-D, dead.
Yeah. You don't like our music, that's your affair. But don't go around giving us no black eyes. You know what I mean?
To the point, to the point of a phonograph needle.
All right.
Yeah.
The Fortune tribute continues in the studio with Billy Miller of Norton Records, Lenny Kaye, both fortunologists, and they brought a huge stack of Fortune 45s. And we got a special friend on the phone we're going to get to in just a sec. But, Billy, why don't you quickly tell us what we just heard?
Well, we just heard the great Nolan Strong and the Diablos with their 1959 record, If I. And right after this, we'll be doing a tribute to Nolan, probably, you know, one of the greatest singers of all time. Not probably. And then a couple of records here that made Lenny melt on the floor, the Earthquakes. This is really real. Tell them a little bit, Lenny.
I spoke to Sheldon Brown, who was the son of Jack and Devorah Brown, who ran Fortune Records, and he told me when the Earthquakes recorded, they would do their entire choreographed dance steps as they sang. And you can hear that in the record, a little movement back and forth. Just beautiful.
That's
beautiful
a great
music.
Record.
We never know who's watching, even in the studio.
Yeah.
I guess I put him
before
in
before that, the Del Teens, Listen to the Rain. That's the one that got you.
Drip.
Yeah. And the Royal Jokers, I Don't Like You That Much. Spider Turner, Riding My 225, written by Nathaniel Mayer. We've seen Nathaniel do it here.
Absolutely. That's a Soul Club favorite.
Yeah, definitely. And the great Eddie Kirkland with the Grunt.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Highbrow
that
fun.
That ain't dust on the needle. That record sounds like that. And what do we start with? The Del Victors, Acting Up. Man, that's a...
A winner set, that's quite a Fortune showcase, and who better to talk about the Fortune record legacy and Nolan Strong than the man we got on the phone, Andre Williams.
Yeah!
Ooh, Andre!
Andre, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, world.
Hello, Andre.
We got Billy here in the studio. We got Lenny Kaye. And it's a thrill to have you on the show. And one of the things we wanted to talk about is the Fortune sound. And Andre, you cut so many great records there. Could you maybe describe the Fortune studio and how is it that so many great records came out of that modest setup?
Well, first of all, there was no name producer at that time. There was no producer. The artist came in and produced himself. And the studio was like one track. One track. I mean, we did take 89, take 130. If you didn't get the right mix, you'd miss it. We did it on a Ampex 70, one track with electrical reverb, and everything was cut in reverb in the back of a store where they were selling records in the front, and we was recording in the back.
Man.
You know, Andre, it's true when you hear your record, is it true that you did on Fortune, when you let out that scream, the whole background disappears?
Yeah, because at that time, I was really mad about my royalties. So when I went in and said, is it true, I had my pistol in my pocket. And then I shot it up in the ceiling and everybody left the studio.
Oh, yeah. Well, check your copy of that at home. Now, well, Andre, one of the things we wanted to talk about was one of the biggest stars, of course, to record for Fortune was the great Nolan Strong. And you knew him pretty well, didn't you?
Well, you know, when Nolan went to the Army, I took his place. And we was at the same label, but me and Nolan never had any rivalry. We all respected one another because of the simple reason that Nolan was a fantastic singer. And I wasn't a singer. I was just a talker.
Uh-oh.
Can your radio station handle that?
Unlikely.
No, really. And so me and Nolan never had any problems. So then when he got drafted to go into the Army, he asked me, I had just left the $5 then. I hadn't formed the Don Juans. And I went and took Nolan's place with the Diablos for 2 years. I really forgot about that until recently.
Man. Now, what impressed you most about Nolan and his music? I mean, his singing range or his incredible emotive voice?
Well, Nolan was an introvert. He didn't hang with a lot of people. He was the prettiest boy in Detroit. I was second pretty. But I was trying to beat his ass and get up number one, but I never could because he was so gorgeous.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he had a voice to match none, and he had an ear for harmony. If you guys listen to The Wind and listen to The Way You Dog Me Around, then you'll feel Nolan Strong's soul. This guy, I don't know why he liked me. Maybe because me and his sister was going to get married. And she was fat at first. But then she lost a lot of weight over a couple of years, and she became fine.
Oh, yeah.
And so we started dating. But at that time, I had 5 wives and 13 girlfriends.
Your hands were full.
Yeah, my plate was pretty well full. But me and Nolan got alone very well, and I don't know why. I guess it's because he died so young. I guess it was from depression. You see, when I made Bacon Fat, I could have went to Sony Epic Records before Michael Jackson, way back when Screaming Jay Hawkins was there, and I probably would have been a very rich, black, miserable star now. But now I'm very poor and happy.
And you look good, too.
Well, I look pretty good on a Tuesday, but a Wednesday after I get my Bacardi, then I don't look so nice.
Now, when Nolan was performing, you said he was a great-looking guy. He was something of a sensation. He must have made the girls scream.
He was a very good-looking man, about 6'3", broad shoulders, olive complexion, high cheekbones. He was a nice-looking guy. And plus, the man could sing.
And he was a major influence on guys like Smokey Robinson, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was a major influence on a lot of guys, but he got his influence from Clyde McFadder.
Mm-hmm.
And then he
just... You can hear that.
Huh?
You can hear that.
Yeah, you can hear Clyde
He's the missing link between Clyde McFadder and Smokey Robinson.
That's true.
You can't get from one to the other without him.
Right. But see, Smokey decided... Nolan was breathtaking in ballads because he looked so good. And when he sung the fast songs, it didn't click because he couldn't dance.
So he wasn't that dynamic as a performer?
Oh, he didn't have to perform. He was like Luther Vandross. He'd walk out on the stage and it wins. And then he could sing. So he was one of them could stand still and just capture the house. I had to jump off balconies and start fighting in order to, you know, to get my house. But Nolan could just walk on the stage and they would just melt.
Wow. Well, that's why we're here today. We're paying tribute to Fortune Records and with a special focus on Nolan Strong, who, as you mentioned, Andre, passed away so young that a lot of people seem to have forgotten about him.
Well, I guess Nolan was probably so depressed after he came out the Army, and he was still tied up with Fortune because we didn't know nothing about contracts. And I guess he was so depressed that he never really got where he should be. Nolan should be one of the greatest vocalists, you know, like the Flamingos, Solly, Clyde. Nolan, you hear about him just as soon as people start really listening to his stuff. He was a gentleman. He was an introvert. He wasn't an outgoing guy. He knew his music. He had a perfect ear. He was in control of his group. He had everything going for him to be a superstar.
Man, well, let's get to some of his music. That's really the ultimate tribute. And
I'm glad you did, fellas, and I'm very glad that you guys took the time out to recognize Nolan. Yeah. You know, this is because he died so young, and me and Nathaniel is having a ball, you know, making money as young girls. No, I'm sorry.
Having intercourse.
No, but I mean, this guy was Fortune. He was the foundation of Fortune. He was there before Andre.
Now, before we let you go, Andre, what's your ultimate Nolan Strong record?
My ultimate Nolan Strong record is two of them, and that is The Way You Dog Me Around, number one, and The Wind, number two.
All right. Well, we got The Wind queued up here. We're going to get to that directly. Andre, thanks for taking
the
time.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll keep you on the line.
All right, but don't talk to me anymore.
Okay.
You've
had your time. Thanks again, Andre.
Bye-bye, world.
Take care, man.
All right, bye-bye.
She lay warm and tender in my arms. star falls, I wish for you. And I, when I see lovers making love, then I long for you. And when the summer's rich colors are shimmering across the mountains and the valleys, then I look for you. And even until the heavens above can no longer exist, even until then, shall I still love you?
Gentlemen of the radio audience.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Oh, it hurts inside. And I know what's wrong with me. Ever since you left my side, this alone won't set me free. baby. Yeah, baby. It's because of
I feel so all alone. Give me a chance. the tears in my eyes. Come, let me hold you and feel you so near. Come, let me kiss you to see just how it feels. These are a few things that would make my heart sing.
You're the only girl, Dolores, for me.
The tears in my eyes. Come, let me hold you and feel you so near. Come, let me kiss you to see just how it feels. These are a few things that would make my heart sing.
You're the only girl, Dolores, for me. The only girl for me.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope.
Baby,
a little place in your heart. And I wanna know, do you still need me as you did before? Yeah, yeah. I wanna know, do you ever think about me, baby, when you lay your head on your pillow? There to hold you and kiss you and squeeze you as I used to do. I wanna know, now and then that I was there to hold you tight as I used to do, you remember, before.
That was the infinite, that was the living, romping, stomping, whipping, flipping, non-stop end. That's what it was, Daddy.
Oh my. Yeah, we're doing a Fortune Records tribute, specifically there, a tribute to the great Nolan Strong, playing a whole slew of his sides, and just remarkable stuff. We got Billy Miller in the studio, along with Lenny Kaye, and talk to Andre. Doesn't, you know, Andre's... I think we're done.
There you go.
We had the Nolan Strong sides, and just an incredible bluesy. You know, for me, ballads, my favorite type of ballads, got to have a little bluesy feel, and that, mm-hmm. you know, Nolan Strong is just dripping.
I know.
With, like, that bluesy feel. So which ones?
Well,
which
Lenny, the Wind has got to be Lenny's, one of your favorite wind, records.
The Wind, well... I enjoyed going out to Belle Isle in the Detroit River there, where the Diablos actually got the idea for The Wind by listening to the wind blow across the waters between Canada and Michigan. I just think it's one of the spookiest records ever made.
It really is.
It just raises the hairs on your arms. You really feel that they're connecting with the otherworldly there. One of the great moments in, you know, 50s rock and roll for sure. I mean, the Fortune label, the quality of each release is not to be overestimated, and we've really just been mostly listening to the R&B and vocal groups. You know, they did everything. They had that storefront, and people just walked in off the street, and their gospel, their country. It's truly an amazing legacy, and I'm really happy we're here to send it out over the New Jersey airwaves.
There you go.
And, you know, it was the ultimate mom-and-pop operation, wasn't it?
I mean, it sure was.
Jack and Deborah Brown.
For good or bad, actually.
Right. Yeah. One thing that really should be noted is that You see Devorah Brown's name as a writer on a lot of things, and the label was set up for sort of an avenue for her to get her songwriting out, and she just didn't tag her name on the records, you know, like the great songwriters like Don Robey and Morris Levy.
Yeah.
Alan Freed.
Yeah.
But actually, according to Sheldon, she contributed at least the spoken section of The Wind.
Right.
Wow.
Guided them.
And she produced the, you know, for lack of a better term, she was the one running. Andre once said that, you know, she got such a great drum sound. He said, you took your life in your hands if you touched those knobs when she had them set.
It is. These records sound incredible. Especially in The Wind, the combination of that vibrato guitar and the actual singing is something that takes a little bit of genius studio.
If I could butt in one second, fellas, did you guys like me want to grow up to be like Vic Morrow in Blackboard Jungle, but now you realize that we grew up to be the music teacher whose records he throws around the room?
Exactly. What was that, 78? Oh, no.
Not my big spider bag. Yeah, Richard Kiley. Richard Kiley, yeah. The teacher. Well, you know, Lenny, you were talking a little bit about the Fortune sound, and I think the argument could be made that they fit in that pantheon of the great independents like Chess and Sun. They have a distinctive sound.
And what's really amazing is that most of these records, especially the ones we're listening to here, were not heard out much past a three or four state radius. If they got as far as Pittsburgh, they had a hit. Fortune, for all the many releases they had, hardly, you know, maybe they had two kind of semi-national hits.
One, Nathaniel's Village of Love.
And Nathaniel's Village of Love. And then there was Village of Love.
Bacon Fat by Andre.
Yeah, Andre got out there.
You know, The Wind in the beginning, and then later on, Mind Over Matter. But that was like the...
That's it. And they were a true local grassroots label. And one of the things I love about it is that you can... You know, you find a great gospel record and you realize it was the church down the street dragging over their three singers and making a record, you know, for 2 hours one afternoon in 1956, and we can love it now. It's
That's what's amazing about these labels like VJ and Stax. They hung up a shingle and the talent showed up at the doorstep.
Yeah,
King
Records, I think, you know, with all the attention given to both coasts, labels like King, Chess to some extent, though they certainly got out there with the Moonglows and Chuck Berry. But these are the true grassroots conservators of musical traditions that will never be again.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned, too, the breadth of material that Fortune recorded, because we're going to get into some bluesy stuff and some... off the wall
stuff. Pretty off the wall. Yeah.
Any last thoughts about Nolan Strong? Should we go over what we heard? Or, I mean, it was just a whole slew.
Well,
read them off, Billy.
The last one we heard, I Want to Know, one of the great ones, is the flip of If I, which we heard earlier. We heard Everything They Said Came True. That was one of the later ones, 1963. Yeah, Baby, It's Because of You, again later. You're the Only Girl, Dolores, for me. I love that one. That goes out to all the girls named Dolores who are listening. And Try
Hi,
Me
Dolores.
One More Time, and the two that Andre requested, The Way You Dog Me Around, and of course, The Wind.
Yeah.
Hey Billy, I have a question. Andre alluded to the fact that when Nolan went into the Army, it was kind of... really strange experience for him. Some of these records were made before he went into the Army,
right.
Some after. Can you tell any difference between his vocal approach then? Or?
Well, some of these later ones, is that they're actually kind of more like copying, you know, what started happening in Motown and other things. Kind of more playing catch-up. But they had a hit in 62 with Mind Over Matter, which, you know, maybe we could get to that a little later. I love that one. That's one of my favorites.
Here.
And a couple of those I'd like to send out to my late friend Cub Coda, who
was
a big Nolan Strong supporter.
Yeah.
And Cubby recorded, like, If I and Dolores and a couple others.
Yeah, the great Cub Coda. We were happy to have him on the show a couple times, and you know, definitely someone is out there getting the word out about these great artists. And I think we'll jump into a blues set, and I'm going to include in between the songs some excerpts from an old Ernie Durham show. He was a big Detroit area DJ, and Andre speaks highly of him, and he spun all these records back in the day.
I think he broke Bacon Fat in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll hear some Ernie Durham in between some of these records. So what do we got up here?
Oh, I also wanted to, while we're dedicating to great collectors, I'd like to send a couple of these records out to Tone the Bone Fusco, who I went out to visit a couple of years ago when the fortune bug really got to me. I spent a few nights at his house really plowing through his record collection. He always said, fortune? They should have called it bad fortune. Because there is a lot of... Really a great guy.
And he was a fortune employee for...
That's right. He worked actually at the store.
Yeah.
And packing the records.
And now he's working at that great fortune record store in the sky.
Yeah. And one of the great hecklers of our time. In this in this day and age of treating your, you know, treating everybody with respect, he was a good heckler.
Well, he really, he loved the music, and he's a good friend. And now that He's been taken by the wind. Let's spin a couple for him.
Let's start out with one of the wackiest ones. Fortune had a couple of subsidiary labels. One was Straight Eight Records, which became a country one, but their first record was a blues record by the Richard Brothers. We'll hear both sides. This is Drunk Drivers Coming. Rex is already hopped up.
Oh, boy. This is one of the greatest records of all time. So let's get